The views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Well, good afternoon, Northumberland, and welcome back to The Drive Time. I'm your host, Dave Glover. Joining me in the studio for this portion of the show, which is Consider This Live, which we do every Wednesday, is Mr. Jack Russell. He's chair of the Northumberland Hills Hospital Foundation, and Linda Davis, who is the CEO of Northumberland Hills Hospital, and, of course, also in the studio, Rob Washburn from Consider This. Rob, welcome to the show, everybody. Glad you guys could be here, and, well, hey, cool. Thank you very much. We've got a very active studio audience here. I just want to put out one other note, by the way, because I'm going to run out of time before the end of the show. On Friday, Bob Sanderson will be in the studio for the Week in Review. That is a phone-in show. Bob is asking people to phone in. So, and in honor of his request, the number of the studio, 905-372-2321 or 905-372-2391. And now joining me, as I said, Jack Russell and Linda Davis from Northumberland Hills Hospital Foundation. We're going to be talking about Northumberland Hills. We're going to be talking about the budget this year and also some of the changes, if there have been any changes at all. Welcome to the show, folks.
Thanks for having us.
Glad you could all be here. Rob, I'm going to let you kick it off.
Well, I thought a good way to start this all off was I know that the hospital's been going through a lot of changes, and there's been a lot of news around all of this, and in particular the budget and what that all entails. And I want us to take us back to how this all started, back to October of 2014, where... What happened when you, how did you realize, I guess is the question, how did you realize that something was going on? What was that process?
Well, Rob, we probably recognized it even before April or October, whenever you commented. We normally build our hospital budgets well in advance and bring them to the board about December, and then they're approved in March to go forward in April. Our fiscal year is April through till the end of March. So certainly we built the budget for 14-15 as a balanced budget. However, with the volumes that we've been seeing through the hospital, the various challenges in terms of acuity and increased need for services, we recognized that even after the first quarter that we were not going to be able to meet that balanced budget.
So what you're saying is the number of patients that were coming through, when you talk about acuity, what are you talking about there?
So how ill they are. Certainly we have seen the volumes increase in our emergency department. The number of patients within our intensive care unit are up significantly. And not only are the volumes up, but the people are more ill. And we are fortunately being able to provide services close to home, but that does increase the need for the service.
When looking back over the statistics, I know that your emergency department visits have gone up almost 9%. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And your admissions are up around 8% over the last year?
Yes.
Okay. So what can you explain how those things impact what you're doing? That seems like would be normal business for a hospital.
It would be, but we actually, our budget is built on a 95% occupancy. And last year we averaged, I think it was 102% occupancy. So truly, when you are budgeting and you're staffing for a level at 95% occupancy and you're pushed to those higher levels, it does create, it increase our costs, obviously.
But when you plan for these kinds of things, it must be difficult. Can you help us understand how it is that you come up with the numbers? Because it would seem to me, how can you predict? You don't know if people are going to be more sick or that you're going to need more beds or more surgery. How do you do that?
We do have trends. We keep our data year after year. We do know that there are certain times of the years when we are busier than others. Certainly, our beautiful community gets a lot of visitors through the summer months, and so we do keep those statistics so we are aware of when we may likely see those increases, and we do plan for those. I think that what we're seeing overall is the increase in the volumes throughout the year, as well as the level of illness.
And how do you explain the increase in volume and the increase in illness? What are the factors that are driving that?
From what we understand, it is the increase in population, as well as the aging of the population. We're also providing services closer to home. We've been able to increase the number of specialists, so we're able to keep and treat people here versus transferring them. Our cancer program, all of those are now, we're seeing people close to home.
So then why would you have a budgetary problem? Don't we get our money from the provincial government? So wouldn't they look at us and say, well, gee, you know, you're doing all these fantastic things and it's just part of the natural thing way of doing business? Mm-hmm. Then here, you need some more money. So what happens then?
Maybe Jack, you want to jump in on this one?
Well, it's an interesting question that you pose, Rob, and understanding the way hospital budgets are developed is probably the subject of another show or two shows. It's a very complicated process, but the one way that there are things changing in the way hospitals are funded. In past years, say 10 years ago, the majority of a hospital's budget came in one lump sum called a global budget. And that global budget increased year over year, traditionally or typically with the inflation rate. But I guess probably 3 or 4 years ago, the ministry introduced a different format for funding hospitals. And basically, in my simple viewpoint, instead of being funded for who you are, you're funded for what you do. So that is basically taking that big global budget pie and shrinking it down from where it used to be 80 to 90% of the money we got. It now represents about 30 to 40% of the money that we receive. And we receive another allotment, which is called health-based allocation modeling allotment, which is another complicated term, but it is done, it's arrived at based on the community that we serve. The government understands the demographics that exist here in this community, and they largely build a model for HBAM funding, they call it, and that represents about 30% of the money that we receive. And then finally, there's another chunk which is called quality-based procedures. And these are the actual things that we do in the hospital. When a patient comes in, we get funded for the work that is actually done on that patient, and it has to be done according to certain budgeted numbers. And we're basically moving towards a situation where our hospital competes for funds against other hospitals. Mm-hmm. So it's much more complicated process. And as I said, okay, I just gave you a two-minute look at it. It's a lot more complicated.
But maybe we should break that down a bit because, you know, when you talk about what you do, so maybe could you describe what that means in terms of our hospital? Because, I mean, we think of a hospital as a place where you go when you're sick or there's an emergency and they look after you. That, what you've explained to us, sounds a little bit more complicated. Can you break it down a little more simply so that we understand what are we talking about in simple terms?
Well, let me give it a try here in simple terms. We are funded to provide services, acute care services, for the population of Northumberland West. And it really is, we are to provide services to whoever approaches us, and we do so. The challenge is that the ability to provide those services does not always match with the amount of money we need to provide them. And so we are finding, as the amount of services continue to build, we don't have the sufficient funding to, in fact, support them. The government is attempting to look at funding the services that are provided. As Jack said, no longer is it one pot of money that comes and you have to make it stretch. They're trying to say, okay, so if you're seeing more patients, you should get more money. We're finding that isn't, it's not happening as quickly as certainly we'd like it to, and certainly we're seeing our population grow and our need grow.
Well, in that kind of a model then, this becomes a problem, and maybe Dave, you can help me figure this out, but it would seem to me if it's based on the services that I provide, it sounds a lot like a mechanic, a car mechanic. I go in and I say, I need these things done. I need my oil changed, my tires changed, and a mechanic's going to cost you $75 an hour, and then they do those services, and then they pay. But what we're talking about, how do you know how long it takes somebody to maybe get better from something or recover from surgery or do these kinds of things? How does that work in those situations?
Certainly, the ministry has done a great deal of research and actually looked at what are expected costs. So what would be an expected cost for a person who comes in perhaps with pneumonia? What should be the cost for a hospital to look after that patient? And we need to try to match that cost or do better.
But what if I don't get better? Say it says, mm-hmm. if I have pneumonia, I get better in 3 days. But I don't get better in 3 days. I get better in 4 or 5, or
absolutely.
I get better in 2. So then what happens?
That's where you go back to that global budget, that big pot of money. Mm-hmm. And that big pot of money, as I've said before, is smaller than what it used to be. So when you get these unusual cases, it does become more difficult, and smaller community hospitals like ours are having some challenges with the new formula. Now, there is a positive side, or there is some recognition within the Ministry of Health that this is an issue for some of the community-based hospitals, and there is studying being done to see if there are adjustments that are needed with the new model. It's like a lot of things. When you introduce something brand new, there are bugs to be worked out of it, and I believe the Ministry is working at trying to fix some of those bugs.
Now, if I was sitting at home and listening to this, then I might get concerned that maybe you're in the back of a doctor's mind or a nurse's mind or admission person's mind is this fact that, oh, I've got to do this in 2 or 3 days. So maybe I'd be worried that, you know, you hear people say, well, I got kicked out of the hospital, or they forced me out, or they sent me home before they really worried about what it was happening. Could you maybe talk about that and how that works?
Certainly, I think from the perspective of the hospital, we are there to make sure we're providing the right service and for the length of time that the person needs. If they need longer than what might be expected, that's exactly what happens. We stretch our budget, we go into our global budget, whatever that is. I think the key is we're also measured on how well our outcomes are. So if the person has been treated, but we send them home and they need to come back, that's a measure to say maybe we didn't do everything we should have before they left. So we are being monitored on that as well and really watching to ensure that we have done what we need to do for that person before they leave us.
What's your percentage of return to the
readmission
hospital?
Rates? I'm not sure I know that figure in terms of it is something that we monitor. We are finding that right now the number that we monitor and report at Northumberland Hills Hospital is for a person who might be treated with us but then reappear at any other hospital in our in the area. So it may not just be a readmission to our hospital or coming back to our hospital. It could be to any hospital. So it's difficult. We are beginning to track those patients who come back to our hospital.
Can I ask you how much of the funding problems that hospitals have found themselves in, whether it's the Eastern Lynn or the Central Lynn or any of the other Lynns in Ontario, are related to the type of hospital that we are? Because we know a few years ago the province decided, okay, well, we're gonna designate certain hospitals. You know, we've got palliative care hospitals, we've got long-term care hospitals, we've got acute care hospitals. How much of the funding dilemma that the hospital has found itself in over the last few years is based on perhaps being mislabeled?
Oh, Northumberland Hills Hospital is considered an acute care community hospital. Mm-hmm. We're actually considered probably what one would call a medium-sized community hospital. So certainly from that perspective, I think the label is right for the patients we are providing care for.
Okay. Well, there was a story in paper recently and in the media. There's been a lot of talk about frailer patients who come to the hospital and get discharged. They're talking about readmission, which is something we talked about there. How much of what the hospital has to deal with are older, frailer patients who, quite frankly, you see them, you send them home, they come back a couple of days later? I mean, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the treatment that was provided for them at the hospital, but it has everything to do with the aftercare or the lack of aftercare that they're getting. And how much is that really leading to a burden on the hospital.
Mm-hmm. I think certainly we know the population that Northumberland Hills Hospital is serving is older than the provincial average.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that as we get older, we have a tendency to require greater health care. Our bodies, unfortunately, do have some wear and tear, and so we see that with age, people tend to have more health problems. So I think from perspective of Northumberland Hills Hospital, we are going to see people with multiple chronic health conditions needing and accessing our hospital. And that's important. We're there for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We do want to try to coordinate their care. We've gotten some very good coordinated programs right now with the family health team, the group of physicians, where we are following patients prior to discharge and making sure they're linked back into their family physician for follow-up. So some really good programs to try to help that coordination.
So you're actually trying to solve that problem before it actually becomes a problem.
Absolutely.
By looking at aftercare while they're still in hospital care to determine that it is going to be available, and if it's not available, what services they can receive for aftercare.
Absolutely. That is part of our responsibility. Even though they may be leaving our premises, we need to make sure that that transition has
mm-hmm.
occurred.
Well, because obviously the goal would be to prevent people from having to come back to the hospital, right?
That's correct.
How much of the hospital's program then is on healthcare prevention, if you will, helping people, you know, if they need assistance? I mean, a lot of people, we have, as you say, 27% of the population in this riding, in this area, are older, which the provincial average is 15.6, so it's significantly higher, as you said. So how many of these people are finding themselves without the financial resources available to help them, maybe when they start to get sick, and they're, you know, they don't want to rush to the hospital? I mean, I had a father who wouldn't go to the hospital unless he was bleeding profusely. There would be no reason for him to go to the hospital, and he ended up dying in a hospital. So how much of what you're seeing is based on the fact that people aren't coming to you soon enough?
Mm. Well, the role of Northumberland Hills Hospital is really to provide that acute episode. So
okay.
Certainly that's where we focus.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a responsibility, though, to link, or if we see the need is not being met, to try to refer. We use the CCAC, the Community Care Access Center, that provides care in the home. There are many, many patients, as they leave us, have a referral to the CCAC for follow-up in the home. So really trying to make that coordination and link them to services to help help prevent their
right.
readmission, or also to keep them at home and healthy.
And so anyone can access the CCAC, or is that something that has to be done through referral?
It is a doctor's referral.
Okay.
Point.
So here you have this budget problem back in October, and a coaching team from the local health integration networks, Central East, comes down and starts to work with you guys. Can you tell us a bit about what this coaching team is and why they were called in to help work with you guys?
I'll start, and then I'm going to ask Jack to jump in. Just to correct, we actually asked for the coaching review, and we in fact brought the coaching team in. It was an opportunity for us to have some external eyes to in fact say, hey, you know, what about looking here? What about looking there? These were individuals who had worked in hospitals, who were very familiar with our situation, and to get some good advice. And Jack, you may want to add.
Yeah, the coaching team did a fair bit of work here over the, well, it started before Christmas, and we got our report in early January. And they went, I think what they really found is that we needed to go further. And when the Lynn reviewed the report from the coaching team, they agreed we needed to go further. And if you really go back to October, we had suggested an operational review at the outset. So now we are going to move to that next step, which is a little bit deeper dive into the operations of the hospital. And the people that will be doing this have perhaps a little more experience,
mm-hmm.
And they will, we're looking forward to it, because it will give us, it will be a helping hand on a much broader scale.
What does going further actually mean, though,
yeah,
to the layperson, to the guy out there listening, going, well, they're going to go further. Further at what? Further cuts? Further?
It was really to try to develop a plan that would see the hospital sustain itself, not only in 1 year, but in the out years, in
mm-hmm.
the second year, third year. So that would mean, how do we, in fact, be able to find sufficient efficiencies or revenue generation in order to balance the budget, not only in 15-16, but also in the next 3 to 5 years.
But if I'm sitting at home, I'd be curious to know, like, why would you even need to call somebody in? I mean, Jack, you guys run the board. Why do you need help? aren't you doing a good enough job?
Well, hold on. I think she already answered that, though, because the point of them bringing in the outside review team, which was something they requested to do, was to have fresh eyes on the scene, to bring somebody in from outside the fishbowl to say, okay, you guys didn't look at this. Maybe there was a reason you didn't look at this, but outside the fishbowl, this is something that's glaring to us, and maybe it's something you want to look at. Is that essentially what happened?
Absolutely.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to pay a couple of bills. We're going to be right back with more of The Drive Time, more of Consider This Live. Joining me in the studio, Jack Russell, chair of the Northumberland Hills Hospital Board, and Linda Davis, who is the CEO. We'll be right back. 9.7. My guests are Jack Russell, chair of the Northumberland Hills Hospital Board, and Linda Davis. Is it Davis or Davies?
Davis.
It is Davis. Good. Okay. I didn't want to be mispronouncing that. Anyway, Rob, you had a question during the break. Let's get right to it.
Well, maybe you could talk about the recommendations that came out of the coaching team report then, please.
Certainly. I think there were a number of areas the coaching team suggested that we look at, and really looking at financial sustainability, not planning for just 1 year, but for 3 years. I think the piece that we found was that the changes that we would need to make in order to find that financial sustainability for those numbers of years would require much more conversation internally and externally. We had very short period of time to respond. So we really, and that was one of the reasons why, as Jack said, we asked the Lynn for more time to, in fact, and to do a deeper dive in terms of things.
When we, it's my understanding that you need to cut between, what is it, $1 and $2 million per year over the next 3 years. Is that correct?
If you look at the shortfall, it's averaging about $1.5 million per year, and that is just, again, as I said, we are seeing our volumes go up. Also, in terms of our costs, we do see inflation, as we all do, in terms of our utilities or whatever. Most of our, about 57% of our budget is human resource, and majority of our staff are unionized, and they have set wage increases. So we need to be obliged to meet those wage increases. So we do see those increases, which, if we look at it annually, it's about $1 million each year in terms of a shortfall.
It's sometimes hard to understand why. There's two ways to deal with the shortfall. One is to make cuts, but another one is to get more money. Why do we not get more money to meet these needs than, again, take away from existing things? How are they seeing that we need to cut? What is it that we're looking at that needs to be cut?
I think that's the piece that we are hoping for in terms, again, and the coaching review started to look at, but also the operational review. You're absolutely right in terms of any Northumberland Hills Hospital is an efficient hospital. The Central East Lynn has recognized that we are well below the cost to doing care per patient day that is expected. However, and we don't have a lot of more room to cut. I think the key is to look at the kinds of services we're providing, what is needed, and to see what kinds of resources are required in order to meet those.
Is there any chance that our designation as an acute care provider would be jeopardized in this type of a review?
Central East Lynn, in their motion, in fact, that they passed for the operational review, was to, in fact, look for an operational review to sustain the acute care services at Northumberland Hills Hospital.
Well, it sounds to me like the Lynn, they're the ones calling the shots, right? So they're the ones who make the determinations. Are they getting their marching orders from the province, or are they making their determinations based on what's actually happening on the ground?
The Central East Lynn has been a very good partner with us. They have worked through a number of years now with the hospital's challenges. Mm-hmm. They recognize the position we're in. We are actually working through this very collaboratively in terms of the operational review, and certainly, I think, trying to support us.
Mm-hmm. Are patients going to see increases in user fees, though, and things like that? I mean, I know, and I'm going to get to the issue of being discharged with crutches and having to pay for that. You know what I mean? When we were all younger, I mean, I remember the first time I was billed for a trip to the hospital in an ambulance, I was incensed. It was like I could have got a limo for the whole day for the same price of an ambulance ride, you know? And so a lot of people are saying, okay, well, I've got this service that's being provided, but then I got to pay on the back end. I mean, how much of that is being addressed?
From a provincial perspective, those are obviously addressed at a provincial level. Truly, it is one of the things that we need to be looking at. I'm not sure where the province will go in terms of increased user fees. I think that's something that I certainly couldn't answer. Mm-hmm. From my perspective, though, I recognize that looking at the population that we are serving, our healthcare needs are going to increase. And in order to control costs, we're going to have to look at, A, how can we keep ourselves healthier? Mm-hmm. Or what portion can people who can afford, what portion can they pay in terms of whether that is paying for crutches or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
We all have a responsibility, and I think that's something that we're just going to have to look at.
When we talk about the central LHIN and its role in the collaboration, Jack, what about our local control? I mean, you're the board. You guys are chosen. There's a membership meeting. What is it, $10 or is it more now that you pay and you get a membership and I can go and I can vote? It's a very democratic process. What's your role in this collaboration? How much decision-making is being made locally?
Well, actually, any changes that would be proposed for the hospital need to be approved by the board of directors of Northumberland Hills Hospital. And, you know, we have many ways of getting input from the community. We get input from the community in shows like this. We get input from the community when we go and make presentations to the various municipal councils. We have members on our functioning committees who are community-based members. They're not members of the board, but they mm-hmm. are community members. So we have lots of ways. Plus, we have regular input sessions with staff and physicians, and you're constantly getting input. So you weigh the input that you're getting, and you make the best decision that you can.
Mm-hmm. But the kinds of talk, the things that go on a regular basis are not very extraordinary. A number of years ago, there was a process, a community engagement process that was heralded as being very unique, and the community got very engaged. But we don't see that happening all the time. In this round of analysis and review, what level are we going to see in terms of public input and public engagement?
I think that will probably depend on the nature of the recommendations and suggestions that come out of the operational review. If we could just go back for a minute, you made a point earlier, Rob, about looking at the revenue side of the equation. And you're absolutely right. If we can find ways to increase revenue for our hospital, we can. That's another way of solving the shortfall problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can look at, and we're going to begin to do this very soon if we haven't done it already, we're going to start looking at services that our population are going outside the community today to get. And if we may find opportunities there where we could begin to develop some additional programming and capture that money that is leaving the community to be done.
Can you give an example of the kind of thing you're talking about?
Well, for example, one of the things that we are seeing, and is not one that I think we can bring into the community, is orthopedics. We have, just given the population, we use Peterborough as our partner primarily for individuals who might have fallen and broken their hip, and so they would be transferred up to Peterborough to have that hip repaired. So, for example, the opportunity to provide that level of service here in Northumberland Hills Hospital would mean that the revenue from the government would flow to this hospital. Now, orthopedics isn't a good example because that's not one that we would be able to easily provide in the mm-hmm. area. But it's trying to provide the type of service that people might need and then get the revenue from the ministry that would normally go with that type of procedure.
Well, we know that there's lots of fundraising going on. There's always fundraising going on for the hospital, and it's primarily to pay for equipment, right?
Yes.
And that's definitely something that otherwise the hospital couldn't afford that. Is part of the problem with the constant replacement of equipment the fact that, I mean, let's face it, if something has a 5-year shelf life on it, I mean, we know, we all hear stories about how the equipment's taken from hospital here because it only can only be used for so many years, and then it goes off to somewhere else. It goes to Central America, perhaps, or maybe down to Mexico or some other jurisdiction where that product is still being used and can be used for many, many, many years later. Is that something that can be addressed by the hospital, or maybe by the Hospital Association of the provinces, to say, hey, we need an extension on this. We can't continue every 5 years to go out and buy a new machine that goes ping when the machine that goes ping that we have is still working quite well.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, we just were talking about an example today at Northumberland Hills Hospital. We have equipment that is well beyond its best before date, if
exactly.
I can use that. Not that it's endangering patients, but it is something that we continue to use because it's working. Mm-hmm. It's providing high-quality care, so we continue to use. We really replace equipment when we know that the technology is not able to provide the best possible care for the patient or it is not able to be repaired. Most of the equipment in our hospital is now, most of it was new. Mm-hmm. A couple of pieces came from the old hospital, but most of it was purchased 2003. Mm-hmm. So we're now 11 years old.
Right.
And many are to the point where the actual company that would service it are saying it's no longer covered under a service warranty. So some of it we're still limping along with, and others we would look mm-hmm. to replace. But it is a significant challenge, and we are, you know, we have a fantastic foundation and a very, very generous community that continues to help to support Northumberland Hills Hospital. We will certainly see that need will probably grow in the next few years, just given the age of the equipment.
Are other hospitals seeing that, though, where the warranty, because it's really about the warranty life on these machines, right? Is there a movement afoot within hospitals in the province to talk to the province about maybe getting some type of extension on these warranties or trying to figure out some other way of rewriting the warranties? Because as you said, the machines may be past their warranty date, but it's still a good machine. It's still something that works. It's still valid. It's still useful. And the idea you'd have to run out and buy a new one simply because they're no longer servicing it, quite frankly, it doesn't make any sense.
I can't comment on what other hospitals do nor what the ministry is mm-hmm. looking at. I think the ministry is looking at trying to see where there are opportunities. They recognize that hospitals do spend a great deal of funding or capital dollars on equipment, and they're looking to see if there's other ways that actually around purchasing, what we call procurement, you know, how to purchase, can we do more group purchasing, those mm-hmm. sorts of things to, in fact, reduce the cost. So that is a focus of the ministry and the province right now.
Okay.
In terms of the types of services that you provide, I know that there are things, situations that you deal with that are not necessarily meant for hospitals, things mental health, acute care for seniors, long-term care, those kinds of things. What is being done to change those kinds of things? Because I know that those can be burdensome on your budget as well, because they're part of your mandate, but not really part of your mandate.
I'll start by talking about in terms of long-term care. We do have usually a number of patients in the hospital who have completed their acute phase of care and are waiting for that alternate level of care, whether that is long-term care or nursing home. We understand that the province is going to be undertaking a full review of the beds, the number of long-term care beds that are in the province, and our LIN, our Central East LIN, is going to be looking very clearly at what is available in our area. There may be some change. Now, that won't be quick change, but certainly there. We're also working to help prevent people from needing long-term care. Northumberland Hills Hospital has a program we call Assess and Restore. It is really about taking individuals who might be frail, beginning to have some difficulty coping at home, and looking to really assess them and try to restore their ability. So that whole idea of restore, we've been quite successful in that. I was talking to one of the physicians just today who talked about a patient of his who came into our hospital, was admitted directly from the emergency department into this program, and went back home. And the physician said, you know, I didn't think that was going to be able to happen, but we've avoided long-term care. So that is a focus of our hospital.
How large a gap is there between the services that you provide and the ones that are provided in the community? How well are those things meshing up, or is there any kind of a gap?
I think that we're working very hard to better coordinate those programs. There's a number of various processes, and I know we want to talk about PATH, about that, because that is of one of the programs that is enhancing those transitions between care, so between the hospital and the community. So we do have a great deal of work that we also do with the CCAC on that.
And on that note, we're going to take yet another quick break here. Northumberland 89.7, you're listening to The Drive Time. My guests in studio are Jack Russell, chair of the Northumberland Hills Health Center. He's on the board, chair of the board, and Linda Davis, who is the CEO. And, of course, Rob Washburn joining me in the studio as well for this version of Consider This for Wednesday, the 27th of May. Stick around. We'll be right back. And welcome back to The Drive Time. This is our final segment, last 50 minutes. During the break, actually, I had the opportunity to ask our guests. One of the things that came up at the healthcare forum, Stand Up for Healthcare, that we attended in Port Hope some months ago, was this issue that people are being released from hospital into long-term care facilities. And quite frankly, in a lot of cases, not necessarily here, but I'll let you address that. We've got people that are being released into long-term care, but not into their own community because there isn't anything available in their own community. In other parts of the province, in Northern Ontario, for instance, people are being obliged to move to areas oftentimes 100 more kilometers away from their friends, their family, any of their support. Is that something we're seeing here?
Again, we do see patients who move into other places, but anyone who requires long-term care, the patient, the family together determine three homes of their choice. And we really work through those choices. So if perhaps the third home, which is further away, becomes available first, then that discussion would occur in terms of suggesting that the patient go to that home because a bed has become available.
Right.
Now, one of the things that you talked about just before the break was something you called PATH. Could you maybe explain what that is and how it's working?
I'm going to let Jack go into that because he knows a whole lot about that.
Well, PATH is an acronym, and we said we wouldn't use acronyms here tonight. It stands for Partners Advancing Transitions in Healthcare. And I see that Dave has already pulled up the website on his screen here, and it's an amazing website. The address is www.pathwaytoagingwell.com. So let's talk a little bit about PATH. It was developed, it began about 3 years ago, or a little bit more than that now, I guess. And it was a project that was granted to this community, not the hospital, but there were 12 partners involved in the development of this proposal. And the Change Foundation funded this project to the tune of about $3 million to develop research and develop a program to find better ways to help seniors transition across the many different avenues that exist in healthcare. Tried to make it a little bit simpler, a little more understandable, and it's been very successful. At this point in time, there's about 120 senior patients with multiple chronic illnesses that are a part of this project, and they are beginning to learn to control and take charge of their health in a much more substantial way than they were before through the learnings that they've been able to get from the PATH team. And all of this project, this is another very interesting aspect. This has been done using a terminology which is called experience-based co-design. It uses information from patients, from caregivers, from healthcare providers, all together working to try to find a better solution to the problems that exist.
Mm-hmm. Now, when does the funding end for this? Because it's not from the provincial government.
No, it's actually the Change Foundation, which is an arm of the Ontario Hospital Association. Mm-hmm. The funding is probably, I guess, up until about June. We do have a sustainability plan going forward and are working right now with a number of people to, in fact, continue the program.
How do you see the funding carrying on then?
Well, as I said, we have a number of proposals going forward. At this point in time, we are close, and some things that I probably can't speak to yet because they're not finalized, but certainly understand that we will be able to at least continue with where we are and hopefully grow it.
And you're saying it's next month that the funding from the organization ends?
That's correct. We have the funding that we have right now. We have continued. It was the last payment came through in March, but we continue to use that funding. We haven't spent it all, and we'll be able to take it right through till the end of June.
Just for the listeners' information, I've gone to the PATH page for your information. The purpose of PATH, as Jack said, is to improve healthcare experiences and transitions, seek solutions to real needs of seniors and caregivers, test a totally new approach to healthcare in Ontario, experience-based co-design, as Jack referred to it, prompt system-wide exchange.
Now, in addition to Northumberland Community Partnership, they're going to be developing new funding models, which will be applied in Northumberland's region across the Central East Lynn and possibly across the province. But it starts with Northumberland seniors and caregivers. So that's an interesting thing to note because, as you said, it's essentially a pilot project, right?
That's correct.
And so this is going to improve the experience of seniors and their caregivers as they move in and out and across Ontario's healthcare system. It's going to enable seniors and caregivers to take control of their health records, which is something a lot of people are a little worried about, and redesign and test new ways for seniors and caregivers to live the highest possible quality of life at home for as long as possible. So the project started in 2011. The Change Foundation and the healthcare think tank. That's when they announced $3 million in funding for PATH. It's the largest initiative, and in 2012, Northumberland Hills Partnership was chosen from 27 communities across the country. Do you know anything about how we were chosen and what was the criteria?
Oh, I can speak to that because I was in a community that didn't get the project.
Okay.
I was in Collingwood General Marine Hospital prior to this, and we also submitted a proposal. We were one of the five runner-ups, but we were not the chosen. My understanding is it was really the readiness of the community groups to, in fact, come together and work on this. As Jack alluded to, there are 12 different organizations represented in this partnership. The Y, the Family Health Team, the CCAC, the hospital. So community, long-term care, everyone involved. And it was really that readiness and the working together that was already occurring that I think made the difference.
Right. So we were kind of already out of the gates with this project when the funding sort of came along, right?
That's correct.
Well, that's an interesting initiative. Now, again, because of the disparity in terms of our population with over the provincial numbers for seniors, obviously the need to be ready and out of the gates for a project like this is probably many years in the making, right? I mean, we've been aware for a number of years that this was the projection we were seeing. For many years, the communities around here were touting themselves as retirement communities. Now, we've seen the growth in families, however, moving into the community as well. But still, 27% of the population is someone who would consider themselves an elder person. I know seniors hate the term seniors, apparently.
I would know about that.
They're elders, apparently.
I think that the other part to that is that we expect that the ratio of seniors will double by the year 2050, I'm sorry.
Right.
So we can be looking at this being very significant in the future.
So with this operational review that's going to be coming up, no matter what you're going to look at, we're going to be talking about change. And that's going to obviously impact the community. What assurances can you give us at this stage about the maintenance of service, the level of service, and the engagement of the community?
Well, I'll start with what I think, certainly from the perspective of commitment to the community. The commitment to the community from Northumberland Hills Hospital and, I believe, the Central East Lynn is to continue to provide acute care services to this community. How we provide that may be different, but the fact that we provide it is the goal. And if you want to perhaps speak to engagement.
Well, at first, one of the things I just thought about when you were asking the question, Rob, was the partnerships that you can develop with other hospitals. Mm-hmm. Northumberland Hills Hospital has been extremely successful in growing the capability that we have to treat cancer patients right here locally. We've done that through a partnership with Lake Ridge Hospital in Oshawa. We also have a very good project that we've developed with Ontario Shores Hospital in Whitby to increase the number of patients that we're being able to support through the mental health program. You know, there could very well be other types of integrations that we could do with other hospitals to provide an even greater level of service, but at reduced cost. And that's where the real advantage of some of these operational review team people can help, because they've seen these things done in other communities, or they may have seen these things done in other communities, and they can help us here. So we're really looking forward to the team coming in and working with us to try to find solutions. But our number one goal, as Linda said, is to maintain the acute care services that we provide in this community.
But one of these things, when they happen, I mean, a lot of it happens behind the walls of a hospital. And then what happens is a report comes out and we say something like, oh, we need to cut this service or we need to reduce this number of nurses. In the process, then all of a sudden the community mobilizes and there's this huge conflict. What's going to happen? Is that going to just play out again as it has in the past? Or is there an opportunity for people to get in there as this is happening? It's in a consultative process over time. I mean, that has to be a worry in a lot of our listeners' minds.
Mm-hmm. My understanding is certainly as the review is carried out, the recommendations will come to the hospital board, to the Northumberland Hills Hospital Board. At that point in time, pardon me, the board has the opportunity to, in fact, look for input into those recommendations. I think we'll need to, as Jack said earlier, we need to wait to see what those recommendations are like, to see how broad we need to engage in terms of whether or not, how far we do that. Engagement can go anywhere from inform to empower, as was done earlier in the CAP process that you referred to. So I think we're really waiting to see what depth and breadth we need to engage.
I guess what I'm looking for is there's some assurance that you can give us today that no matter what happens, there's not going to be a final decision, and then it's going to be announced to the community that there is going to be some sort of back and forth process throughout this.
I think if you look back to the way we handled the community advisory panel in 2010, that set the stage for our community engagement framework, and we've continued to work on that community engagement framework over the last 4 years, and we've actually just two meetings ago, we approved the updated framework. It's now posted on our website, and it basically says this is the way that this hospital and this board will deal with issues. We will consult. We will look for advice. And we will work together to collaborate to find solutions to the very best of our ability.
And I think if I can just add one thing, one of the keys is the hospital has a number of different stakeholders, not only the community. And so the board will need to wrestle with the accountability to the funder, the accountability to the community, and the accountability to the physicians and staff who work there. So it's multiple accountabilities, multiple stakeholders, and the board will need to wrestle with that as they go forward and engage.
Well, on that note, I want to bring it to a close here. You've been listening to Consider This Live. It's Wednesday, May 27th. My guests in the studio, Jack Russell, chair of the Northumberland Hills Hospital Board, and Linda Davis, who is the CEO of Northumberland Hills Hospital. And as always, Rob Washburn has been my co-host here. Any questions or concerns you may have with regards to how the hospital is run, I would urge you to check out the website. Go right to www.nhh.ca. There's all kinds of contact information there. You can also find information about the new PATH program that's coming up and available. So really, all your questions will be answered. You just need to ask them, folks. That's generally how it works. Anyway, thanks for coming into the studio. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. Listeners, thanks for tuning in.